Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Good morning, you're with a kickoff on Radio City Talk. Right, really important you take attention, listen to the next half hour or so. The conversation we're going to have is so pivotal to the future of our city. We're talking about homelessness. My guest in the studio is the chair of Signature Living, Lawrence Kenwright, who set up a homeless shelter in the city, Kingsway House, just to try and address the problem a couple of months ago. So he's probably been on a bit of a roller coaster himself, just in terms of learning how big the problem is and what we can do to actually help. Morning to you, Lawrence.
Good morning.
Great to see you at the top of the tower. I mentioned, obviously, the chair of Signature Living. Responsible for quite a few of the hotels in our city now, so no better view than from up here.
No, it's a great view. It's great just to see the city from this angle. It's not something that we normally see.
Absolutely. On a day like this, so clear as well. We're so lucky. We're so privileged to live in the world we do, in the way we do live. But of course, in recent months, you've looked at the problem of homelessness. Just take us back to initially why it was so important to you to take a look at this and see whether we could address the problem.
Well, initially, it wasn't important to me. I believed what I was hearing, which was there's only 27 registered homeless in the city. And I believe that.
Where were you hearing that? Where was that coming
well,
from?
Well, that is the general sort of council-led information that comes out, and that is probably absolutely true. But as we all know, there's probably 27 on Dale Street, so there's a lot more than that. So it was never a light bulb moment for me. It wasn't like I got up in the morning and thought, this is what I'm going to do. Because we own quite a few buildings in the city, Kingsway House, for instance, there was a, for want of a better word, a crack den that they had in the roof, and we were continually throwing them out of there. And below Shankly, there is a three-storey basement car park, which the air-conditioning units vent out into there, so it's really warm. So there was quite a few in there. So one day, I just thought, this is insane. We're not getting help from anyone. We keep on doing the same thing day in, day out. It's an issue. What can I do? So I just decided to open one door to one room. And there were 16 people in there that day, and we've got 55 shetra in the group, so we can certainly feed them. We've got so much food that we throw away. Why should we throw it away? Why don't we give it to them? So we did. So day one, there were 16 people. Day two, there were 32. Day three, 55. And then we got to 86 people.
Amazing. It grew that quickly.
Well, 86 people, 24/7. We feed 150 people a day and have done now for 8 weeks. So if people think that this issue is getting smaller, they really do need to wake up and smell a coffee. It's getting worse all the time.
We should understand there are already charities, organisations helping out in the city. So there are places that have been offering accommodation, food, but clearly they aren't enough for the scale of the problem.
Yeah, what you've got to realise is that the grant pot, the funds that are available are decreasing. Liverpool City Council, not their fault at all, by the way. This is government-led. I've got to lose £30 million year on year for the next 3 years. So that pot that's out there is decreasing, and the issue is getting larger. So wherever we are today, in 2 years' time, even 3 years' time, it will be so much larger. Now, our policy in our city, and I think rightly so, is that we accept anyone from a humanistic standpoint. If they come into the city, we will look after them, and that's the way Scousers are. But if someone who's homeless jumps on a train and goes to Chester, they get given a ticket to come back. If they jump on a train and go to Manchester, they get given a ticket to come back. So we are a loving city, but also at times you have to look at it and say, well, surely this look after our own should be the most important point. And in our shelter, we have a lot of people from Chester, from Manchester, from Stoke. Surely we can't close our doors to them either. So we're in a real tricky situation here that we have a lot of people from all over the country because we are a lot more loving and caring in the city than other cities.
It's probably opened your eyes up to the individuals as well that have actually fallen into the trap of homelessness. Let's talk about some of the conversations you've had. Obviously, you don't have to mention names, but what people have really struck you and what stories have really stuck with you?
Well, what you've got to remember is these people are survivors. And a lot of the stories are based on a certain amount of manipulation. So I certainly don't think I am stupid. and I think I can read situations reasonably well. I think the first 3 weeks for me were trying to understand what's going on. Mm. So I spoke to an awful lot of them. I mean, I was there Christmas Day, I was there New Year's Day, I was there three times a week in between Christmas and New Year. I'm there every single day. And I make sure to speak to them for at least an hour so I can try and understand what's going on. I now understand what's going on. And I understand that, you know, these people have been ostracised from the family, from society. People like myself, you know, I would walk down Dale Street and I would see someone on the floor and I would sort of step over them and think, oh, he's a professional beggar. Yes, they are professional beggars because they have a need. And a lot of them are of these drug abusers need £100+ a day. So I suppose that does make them professional beggars. Mm. But still, they have a need that they have to quench.
They're caught in a vicious circle.
I think it's a very large vicious circle. I think it's also cyclical. I think a lot of them want to get off drugs in, say, December, because then you think about your family, you think about your children that you've left behind. It's freezing cold outside. It's very depressing to be homeless around Christmas. In summer, it isn't as bad. You know, they run around fields and they do what they do, you know, so it's not as bad then. So the problem is when someone wants to go through the process of going on methadone and then going on what they call subs and then actually getting onto a rehab course, you are dependent on funding and you are dependent on someone else's conveyor belt. And that needs to be absolutely back to back with that need, and it's not. So then you've got to wait for the timing of, but by the time that timing of comes into fruition and that person can actually be put on that conveyor belt to go through rehab, he actually might have gone somewhere else. And then the other issue is when they go through rehab and they come out the other end, thank God, let's hope it happens, they then get sort of ostracised and put into an apartment miles away where that apartment only gets used for ex-drug users or drug users. Mm. Everyone knows around that area that they are a drug abuser or have been. They're ostracised there. They can't get a job. No one talks to them. They get depressed. And then they go round the cycle again, and the system is broke. Well, actually, it's not broke, it's smashed, and it's going worse. So this isn't me saying, you know, we're here to fix all, because the problem is so severe and so, I don't know. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not blaming the council, I'm not blaming government. All I'm saying is there's a huge situation here, which is getting worse all the time. I've took it from a humanistic standpoint to get involved. We don't want it to stop what we're doing, but we're asked to stop on the 28th of Feb. We will do as the council ask. They have the right to close us down at any time. Mm. We don't have planned permission to be where we are, so they've been absolutely amazing to allow us to be open. They really have. But I look back at the friendships that I've created with the homeless people, and it's going to be very, very difficult for me to allow them to go back on the streets. So we are having meetings now with the council, and they will reassure us that there are places for them, because, you know, Joe has created Labrie House and we have got Whitechapel, and they are two amazing centres. And in no way are we saying that we're there to replace them. We're not, but we are here to support if we're needed. And at the moment we're getting told that we're not needed. So therefore they have the capacity to take these people on. So if that is the case, then that's amazing.
But so how can you not be needed if you're telling me there's up to 80 people there? Well, are you being told that the end of February is the end of the Kingsway shelter?
Yes. Labrie House is a new venture created by Joe, created by the council, to hit these ever-increasing numbers that we have. Now, I believe our homeless numbers are well over 200. We're at 50-plus. Whitechapel was at 45, Labrie House at 60 plus, and there's still lots of them on the street, lots of homeless on the street. Ours is a 24/7 centre. So we don't push ours out on the street at 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. We want them to stay with us as much as they possibly can. We really are trying to stop them from what they call tapping, which is begging on the streets. And to whoever's listening to the show, there is no need to give these people any money, because all you're doing is funding their addiction. So that really does need to stop. We feed 150 homeless every single day. We will feed 250 if need be. So no one needs to go hungry here. So when you're given that money, it is not getting used to go and buy a sandwich. It is getting used to fund their addiction.
Because a lot of people feel they're doing good just by handing over a quid and feeling that it might be buying a hot drink for someone or some sort of food comfort.
Absolutely. And, you know, I understand. But I'm in the eye of the storm. I see it every single day. I understand it implicitly. And I know they need 100 plus pounds a day. Some people are on 15 hits a day. And that ain't unusual. And what you got to remember is the people that we have are the people that can't get into Whitechapel, can't get into Library House because their addiction is so strong. So we have grouped them all into one place. And we have the most severe addicts in the city in our building. So it's a real tough play for us. But what's actually happened is we've created this community. So if you just think to what a homeless person is, they're a person who is a survivor and doesn't trust. And we've now got the homeless people now actually protecting each other. And it certainly wasn't there to start, but it certainly is there now. And I'm hoping that this moves along as a community together. And for a fact, the people that when I first met them and say they want something like spice, which is something which just, it's like The Walking Dead. They're literally gone.
The most extreme of
drugs. They're just gone, you know. Those same people now, I have a conversation with. And that is the acid test, if you like. That's the litmus test, where you know that they're not on drugs all the time. So it means that they're now coming away from the need to take drugs every minute of every day. They run in 3-hour cycles. You know, they have a 3-hour thought process. And after 2 hours, they're rattling and they're looking around and they're looking at anything. There's no thought of kids. There's no thought of mum and dad. There's no thought of friendships. It is just one thought. There is a flag in the sand and it's how do I get on my next fix? And I think we're coming away from that now.
When you see that for the first time, Lawrence, do you feel it's almost unapproachable? It's almost unsolvable?
Well, I can't tell you how disturbing it is when you're in that, when I say eye of the storm. I couldn't speak for 3 days. I was
gone. Blew your mind.
Here's me, I've got the money, I've got hotels, I've got buildings, first thing I said to Kate was, we're not buying each other Christmas presents. How can we? You know, so we just didn't, you know, just didn't, nothing. How can you? You know, the people have nothing. They have minus nothing. They don't have anyone to support them. And here we've come along and you know, we give a bit of love, we give cuddles and how are you? And everyone's cuddling each other. The homeless cuddle each other when they walk in. It's an emotional thing to see that they've come from 15 hits a day. You couldn't even get them to walk 2 steps without falling over. And now you're walking in and they're cuddling each other. I mean, you probably want to cuddle me because thinking, oh, you know, can I get £10 out of loan? Probably, yeah. So I get that one. But actually to cuddle each other as they meet each other, I think is an emotional thing to see.
It's a hugely emotional journey that Lawrence and his family have been on. Lawrence Kenwright, my guest today, Chair of Signature Living. We're talking about the Kingsway House Shelter, which has been set up to help so many people who haven't got a roof over their head in the city. We'll continue that in just a moment.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
My guest is Lawrence Kenwright, Chair of Signature Living. We're talking about homelessness in the city. He's taken steps to help address the issue with the Kingsway House Shelter, which is currently open. Let's talk about some of the individuals, the people who are in this shelter. These are people who've come from a variety of backgrounds. Some of them have been professionals, had careers. Some of them mothers, fathers. You must have met a huge array, a huge dynamic of different people in there, Lawrence.
Yeah, we've got nurses. We've got one doctor. We've got numerous guys who have been in business. Sometimes, you know, I can relate to them more so because I understand the trials and tribulations of business more than anything else. There's always a story. They've always got a real traumatic story to the reason as to why they were the way they are. And I think when you spend time to listen to what those trials and tribulations have been through their whole their life, it's really, really traumatic. It's really tough to listen to. And I think sometimes you take it upon yourself and you start feeling the weight of their pain as well. So you do two or three of them in a day. you really go home quiet. You're somber. You're taking all those issues with you. And I think that's the toughest part of it all. How do you still get up every day and hit it with the same gusto as the day before when you've been weighted by all of the severe problems that these people are about to endure, which culminates them being where they are?
Are these people who want to talk about their story, want to share their background, or is it a case of almost forcing them into saying, tell us a bit more? Why are you here? What led you on the path to homelessness?
And if you just think of people in doorways, sleeping in doorways, living in doorways, yes, there are people that pass through their lives, but it's as they're walking past, like Brian. Brian lived on Old Hall Street, a great, amazing, amazing guy. I class him as a friend. He lived there for many months. People walk past, hi, Brian, how are you? And he's got so many friends and so many people he talks to. And he lives with us now. He's the sort of person that when you speak to him about it, he will be so open with it all the way through. And then once all the other homeless people know that you will listen to what they've got to say, when I walk in to the centre, I probably get about five or six. I'm saying, Lunch, can I have a word? And what I thought was going to be an hour ends up being 4 to 5. And I've got two twins at home, and they're only 2 years of age, and I love putting them to bed. And the amount of times that Kate phones me and says, where are you? I go, I'm on my way, and I'm in the middle of a story, and I'm encapsulating the story, and I want to hear it, you know, and I want to understand why and how and what. And then I end up going late, and I end up getting beaten up by my wife then.
You can only imagine what it means to that individual to be telling their story to you, to have a listening ear. That's something you probably don't have when you're on the streets.
No, you certainly don't have that because everyone's in a rush. Everyone, you know, when they're walking past, say, Brian and Old Hall Street, everyone's walking to work. So they've all got a time to get in for. So if they do speak to him, it will be for a minute or two. It's cold anyway. Old Hall Street's probably the coldest street in the world, you know, it's so windy. So everyone's in a rush. So no one really gets that time to understand and dissect exactly where that person's mind is. And I think that is probably the best aspect of what Kingsway House offers, is that intimacy of talking through what's happened. And I think almost by them talking it through, you can see a little bit of weight raising off the shoulders as well.
How did you try and set Kingsway House up in terms of what it should be, what it should look like, how it should facilitate different individuals, people who haven't had a bed? What was in your mind when you were trying to create it?
Well, as I said before, I don't think I ever thought to myself, this is what I was going to do. I am where I am. And I've meandered to that point. It hasn't been a, you know, this is what we are going to do. We didn't think we were going to have this open in 8 weeks. But how could we close it? How could we create this community, which is now cuddling each other? I mean, just think of that. Homeless people who dislike every other homeless person because they stole their pitch, they took that fiver off that guy that they should have got, and it's everyone else's problem, not theirs. Now all of a sudden these homeless people are cuddling each other. And we've got this as a community now, and we're moving it along, and they're going for 15 hits a day to 5 hits a day, and we're doing a great job with it. How do we stop that? How do we turn round to those friendships and say, what you've done now, which is, I think, amazing, what do we turn round to them and say, what's the excuse? So our view now is about where do we go from here? How do we get to the 28th of February? You know, I've had police come in to me or to my team and say, if anyone dies here, you will be done for manslaughter. You know, and we don't see what we've done today in any way should any faction come in and say, you know, we'll come after you. Where all we've done is group a load of people together who are on the floor of life, who are finding it so damn tough. And we brought them together as one, and we have certain factions actually waiting for us to fall. And it isn't about that. This is all about is us taking a humanistic stand and saying, we have the money, we have the sites, we have the food, we have the shelter. We don't have the mental health capacity to deal with what's going on. And we've said that from day one, we don't. That's where the council come in. So I've got a meeting today at 2 o'clock with the council. but we're 8 weeks in. We're only just having a meeting now with the council, and we're saying to them, you know, here we are. These are our issues. Please come in. No one's closing our doors to anybody. Please come in. Mm. Please come and talk to whoever you want. If you want to take them away to Whitechapel or to Ladbury House or to wherever, absolutely. They want to go, let them go. I'd be delighted. If there were no people left in the centre at the end of the day and they've gone to all these other centres, fantastic. I've done my job. So I'm hoping by the 28th of Feb that happens. If it doesn't happen, then, you know, we'll have to see what goes on from there. But my job now is to make us as safe and as compliant as we possibly can be through the next 4 or 5 weeks.
And fingers crossed someone sees the good work and understands how it's actually helping so many individuals in there.
I think the public see that. Mm. I think the public see that we've made best endeavours to do as much as we possibly can. But we clearly don't have skill set. You know, we don't, and I'm the first one to admit, all these issues relate to mental health, pretty much. Not every single one. Some people are just homeless.
Yeah, because we were talking about drugs before, and you said drugs, mental health, the two of them indelibly linked.
Yeah, they're intertwined. Yeah.
What percentage of homeless people are caught up in a drugs issue, do you think? Just by your own...
90-something percent,
right?
I would say.
So it's hand in hand?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So once you've got
drugs and alcohol,
yeah,
but mostly drugs.
And do you ever really get past the drug stage? I mean, I know you've talked about the reduction, but while you're trying to deal with that, you're also trying to deal with the state of mind of these people as well.
You know, these guys have been on drugs. Many of them have been on drugs for 20 and 30 years. So this is their life. They don't know anything else. They can't remember anything else. So to take them away from drug abuse into a life of normality is probably the toughest process any of us could endure. I don't think any of these people will find that an easy process. It's going to be really, really tough. So we believe that we have a skill set, if allowed, to offer the basics, houses, jobs. I had a meeting with 39 business leaders in Liverpool the other day, and I told them what was going on. I spoke to them for probably 45 minutes. At the end of it, they all got up and gave a standing ovation. It was amazing. It was quite emotional, to be honest. And at the end of that meeting, nearly every single one of them said, if you get them through this process, we will get them a job. And then they committed certain amounts of funds to come through to us on certain events that we were going to do. So all of a sudden, if we're not used to carry on with Kingsbury House, what we can do is be there as that conduit between council and the business world, which I think has never truly worked properly. And I'm saying that because I'm coming from the business world. And I think there are a lot of people out there that would not just give a check, because I don't believe in just giving a check. I believe in actually getting your hands dirty. You know, for me to talk to 5 or 6 homeless people a week is probably worth more than any money to those people.
Yeah.
So if I can pull people in who will come in and just sit down for a few hours and talk to these people, their self-worth will rise. Once their self-worth rises, then they believe there's a flag in the sand that they can aim for. And our flag in the sand is, we can give you a job. Where the problem with the system now is there's probably 4 different factions. And because these people don't trust, what we ask them to do is to retrust on 4 separate occasions, i.e. you start off at, say, Whitechapel, fantastic, they look after them, it's amazing, they get them into rehab, they go to rehab, it's a different set of people. Then they've got to go and live somewhere else, so they've got to go and find accommodation with another faction. So there's 3 factions. And then you've got to go and find employment, so there's 4 factions. What we're saying is that is a very tough process, because these people, by the time we get to the second faction, they're not going to trust anyone, because they're being pushed from pillar to post. And that's why that breaks down, because they don't trust people.
But having it in one place
with one group, one company saying, yeah, we will take you from A to B to C to D. And we will hold your hand all the way through the process. And yes, you will fall down. And yes, you will scrape your knee. But we'll be there to pick you up, because we've known you from the whole process.
Am I right in saying you've already done this a bit? Was there a car wash that was set up? There's a few of the people involved that you've already had trying to get into sort of work environments?
Yeah, so the aim is that our homeless people, friends, guests, will operate a car park that we're going to gift for a certain period of time, 100 car parking spaces, then that car park should do between £5,000 and £8,000 a week. So this would be the first self-perpetuating, operational homeless shelter. But at the moment, it's fruitless because we're going to close on the 28th of Feb. So what we're saying is we have an opportunity here to make a model that has never been done before, which is a bridge between council and business, where a company is willing to give up assets in order for it to pay for itself. So it isn't grant-funded because that pot's getting smaller. We're not an enemy of anyone else who are fighting for that fund because we are on our own. And because we're self-funding it and we're looking after ourselves, we're in control. And that's from the start through to the end. And the end is he has a job, he or she has a job and a home, and they'll always stay in touch with us. I mean, that might sound like it's the biggest fairy tale in the world, but it's certainly a flag in the sand.
Or maybe not.
That I want to aim at. Now, I've come from bankruptcy, and I've got a business that's going to turn over £250 million. So to some people, that would be a Jack and Ollie story as well. So if I can do that, I can certainly do this.
What's more rewarding for you?
Oh, this.
The journey that you've been through, you just talked about bankruptcy to £250 million, or actually helping save someone's life, putting them on the right track, seeing an individual rejuvenated again.
I have to be honest, this has absolutely turned my head. So my day is probably 35% now homeless, 65% looking after that £250 million GDV turnover that we're aiming at now. Money's money. You know, we all need money. But it comes to a point where you think, well, you know, I've done enough there. And I would love to get involved in this. I would love to do this. But at the moment, I am heading towards a 28th of February closure. And if we are closed and the council want to run and operate all the homeless shelters and the homeless people that we have in the city, that is their choice. There's nothing I can do about that. And I certainly will not go into battle with, you know, Mr. Anderson and all the councillors over this. I'm a Scouser first and foremost. I love my city. I do this because, you know, I think it's a great thing to do. If it's not needed and they feel they have it covered, who am I to say they haven't?
If you look at it, I mean, for anyone just joining us, we're talking with Lawrence Kenwright, Chair of Signature Living. We're talking about the homeless issue. He's got the Kingsway House shelter, which unfortunately seems to have a date on it on which it should close. It doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense as to why it should close. Are you actually thinking things will change within the next 28 days? People will see sense and this is something you could run all year round?
I met Mr. Anderson a number of weeks ago. We'd done an interview on the Echo. He absolutely assured me that we would stay open on until the 20th of Feb. I gave him my insurance that I would close then. I haven't changed my opinion from that. He could have closed down at any time he wished, and he didn't. So that's amazing. I would like to be involved going forward, but I'm certainly not going to go against the council to do that. And I wouldn't. I don't think Liverpool Council need any more fights. And if they feel, as the professionals who've done it for a long period of time, although I do feel it is a struggle and it's an ever-decreasing part and it's an ever-increasing number, if they feel I have it covered, who am I to say that they're wrong? I have 8 weeks' knowledge here. They have hundreds of weeks' knowledge. They have far more knowledge than I'll ever have. And I certainly do not want to be a pain in their backside going forward. It's not what I want to be.
Do you have a personal feeling that homelessness is getting worse in our city? My perception is that I feel like I'm seeing more homeless people out there, and I can't quite get my head around why I think I'm seeing that. Am I taking more notice of something that's been there all the time? Is it higher on the agenda?
I think there are two reasons as to why homelessness... Well, three. I think the first one is one that it relates to before, which is that other cities just throw them back on the train and send them back. So then other people hear that and then they come here. I think tourism, you know, a sector that I'm well entrenched in. The more tourists that come to the city, the more they'll give. You know, when you're on holiday, you're spending money that you don't even understand. It's not your, it's, you know, it's like I'll spend more euros than I will do a pound. And they'll freely give it away. And I think that is another issue to it. And I think the number is increasing, absolutely, for a fact. I think no one can deny that. And the main issue is that this pot is getting smaller. But the two main reasons are, I think, tourism and the fact that other cities are pushing back and hitting homeless with orders to stay out of city centres. So they have to go somewhere else. And Liverpool's a great city.
Are people getting younger as well on the streets? I feel like I'm seeing 30-year-olds in sleeping bags.
Younger than that.
Younger?
Younger, yeah.
What examples have you seen, Lawrence?
Well, clearly, lifespan of a homeless person, you'd be stretching to get beyond 50, I think, because of the trials and tribulations, what they have to endure, where they live and how they live. I have a number of homeless people who have one leg. And they have one leg because of where they inject. And because of where they inject, they have open ulcers on the legs. And the skin around the legs will be blackened. And there'll be a certain amount of decay there and a certain amount of smell. You can smell it. You know, it's not body odour. It's
flesh rotting.
It is. And you have to understand, and I'm sorry to say this, but this is where it's at. They will not get that cleaned because they need to get the next fix. And if they go to the Royal Say, and again, I'm probably out of turn here, but I don't think they'll be chasing them out the door to pull them back in if they walk out after an hour or two. And after an hour or two, they need their next fix. So they're on a 3-hour span. So, really strangely enough, one guy I'm talking about now, he's 26. He is going to lose his leg, for a fact. You can smell him. I have grabbed him by the beard on a number of occasions, and looked right into his eyes and said, "You are going to lose your leg." You know, and I'm getting over to him, the severity of it. I'm swearing at him. I'm telling him. And he will not go. Only tells me he goes and doesn't go. Four of our homeless took him the other week and stood over him and made sure he didn't move anywhere. And now his leg is getting cleaned up every couple of days. The wounds are clean. He isn't going to lose his leg. But the point what I'm making is, it wasn't me who done it. It was
your community. It's your friends.
New friends, which I think is emotional.
What's the most inspiring thing you've seen in the 2 months in which you've become absolutely immersed in all this?
I wouldn't want to tell you the story, because it's detrimental to the homeless. There are certain categories of homeless, and there are four, and various ones mug their own. And I won't go into detail on that, but it's about, again, the community standing up for the person who's about to be mugged by one of their own and pushing him back. Now, I don't think that's ever happened before.
They took a stand against something which
absolutely
was...
Absolutely.
...that have been very familiar with in terms of the world that they live in.
Yep.
Bring a tear to your eye.
Oh.
I can see you get emotional in here anyway, just talking about it, yeah?
I could cry now.
Yeah.
It's so, so emotional. It's so tough. You walk in, and you're seeing a 26-year-old guy, a 32-year-old guy with one leg, you know, and he's still a user. And, you know, he's lost his leg because of the use, and he's carrying on, and he knows he's going to die. And yet they carry on.
Just unbelievable, isn't it? Lawrence, you're right for a couple of minutes. I know you're so busy. You're right for a couple of minutes. We can take a quick break, and then we'll finish things off with Lawrence Kenwright from Signature Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. This is Radio City Talk.
Absolutely eye-opening now with Lawrence Kenwright from Signature Living. We're talking about the Kingsway House shelter, which he's set up for homeless people in the city. I suppose a bigger question is, how can everyone help what's going on in Liverpool in terms of homelessness? You're trying to do your bit. What can people do?
I think if we stopped giving money on the streets and understand that none of them need go hungry, that if you understand that the money that you give is only going to feed their addiction. I think when you understand that, you know, I would really like that to be the first thing that the Liverpool people do, is to stop giving. Clearly, tourists will still give, but if we can stop giving and understand that actually we're doing, it's to the detriment of, it's not, you're not actually helping. I know it probably sounds wrong me saying that, and I understand why people give, but I think if from this conversation that we have here now on the radio, if people couldn't just walk away with one thing, it would be absolutely that. I mean, I totally believe that we are fueling the problem, and more importantly, their personal addiction.
Were you someone who always gave
always.
£2, £5?
Always. And I thought, you know, almost like I can alleviate myself from the issue now because I've given.
Yeah, that is the common feeling, presumption, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
I've done my bit for the day.
Absolutely. But you're not, you're fueling addiction, you're making things worse. And I know it sounds wrong, but actually that's what you are. And I know that because I'm in the eye of the storm every single day and I know what they do and why they do it.
And they've, you know, these people have told you about this themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can someone who is actually, well, they are homeless, I don't want to say professional beggars, but how much can they earn?
It ranges, well, it depends how good they are, you know, but it's not unusual for £100-150 a day for them to earn. And let's say it's £150. That'll be 15, 20 bags. So that'll be 15, 20 hits. None of it will go into food anymore because obviously when the high is a kite, they're not going to eat. So actually it's detrimental to them on both sides. One, the high is a kite, and two, they're not eating. But I absolutely believe, and everything I'm saying is from a purist standpoint, I honestly believe that these people that we have in our little community now, I know for a fact, are coming away from that linked addiction. You know, as they come down on one, they go straight on to it again. Because I talk to them now, and you can tell. You know, well, they're on spicy, they just can't talk at all. You know, they can't even walk two steps.
I think we're so blinkered, not just to the homeless issue, but the drug problem that exists behind it as well. This idea of going out and buying spice, or, you know, you're telling me about drugs I've never heard of. You know, there's such wider problems that feed into all this.
Well, another angle is that we've brought the addiction into one place and that addiction is now migrating away from severe addiction to just addiction. As far as we're concerned, taking this forward, if we are allowed to, which clearly we won't be, 28th of Feb, but we would like to still try and be involved, but maybe through the council, to maybe the council take on this addiction. But the problem is, anyone who goes to Whitechapel that is an addict who is on 15 hits a day will have to hit up within the Whitechapel Centre. Whitechapel Centre, through tough love, and I agree with it, and I understand why they do it, and they're not wrong, will then send them out because they can't afford to have addiction in their doors. So these people, because of their addiction, then will go to doorways. So when they're hitting up in doorways, they're leaving needles and they're doing what they're doing, they're spreading it around the city. My view is we should have a safe house, one place where they go. We know what they're doing. There are models around this, like this in Europe. There's safety of needles, there's safety of getting rid of needles, but also keeping it to one area. Because when we first opened, obviously they're taking drugs, you know, no one's for it. Ever trying to say that they're not taking drugs, and wish you can't take it in here. So what they were doing is they're going 30 yards down the road, and they're just
doesn't solve
hitting
the
up
problem
down there, and then they're coming back. Yeah, don't be thinking, oh great, you've done it around the corner with kids and a mum and whatever. The issue here is it's here. You know, we have to address the issue and understand it is here, and I think it's far better to be in one area than spread all over the city.
Having been so close, could you ever imagine yourself in their position? In terms of, is it a position you think, for the majority of us, we wouldn't survive in that world?
Well, I'm an entrepreneurial businessman, aren't I? So I think the main drive for me is failure. You know, so when I get in the morning, I think of failure. And that is the catalyst for me to push on, always. And it's because I failed once before when I went bankrupt. You know, it's sliding doors, isn't it? You know, I'm there, I'm bankrupt, I've lost everything, I haven't got a single thing. Do I wallow in, or do I get up and get aggressive? And I got up and got aggressive and took the world on, and I've carried on with that view all the way through. how many other people took that other sliding door and went down a different path and just wallowed in. And then one day woke up. How did I get here? Now it happens, because that's one of the main themes of their story, you know. Son died, daughter died. I don't know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it may be. And then one day they woke up and gone, how have I got here? Now, I must have 3 or 4 conversations a day with addicts saying, I am desperate to come off. I am desperate to see my kids. I am desperate to realign myself with my family. Can you help? The problem is we haven't got that connect to the council. And hopefully with the meeting today, we will have. Now, that's not me having to go with the council. The council can't be involved with us because in some ways we're like a rogue trader. You know, we are a group of people who have aligned together without the skill set of what clearly Whitechapel and Ladbury House and the council have. For them to lend themselves to us, we'll be putting them at risk and the service that they give. And I totally get that. But I think we've come a long way in 8 weeks. And, you know, in the next 4 weeks, you know, we're not going to say we're closed on the 28th of Feb, so therefore we need to relax. We actually still need to make sure that we're putting those walls up and become a great service. And the fact that we have to close on the 28th of Feb is a byproduct of what we're doing. Actually, what we're doing is making sure that we have the safest and best environment for our homeless. Also, with a flag in the sand for the Tamima. Now, whether the council jump in and take over from where we are now and we just then go on the periphery as a company with connections, you know, with 39 businesses who've all said we want to help, and then we align ourselves to them being the conduit from the street, then that's fine.
Lawrence, I can see how passionate and emotionally involved you are with it. It's a topic that's relevant to all of us. We see it every day, and the work you've done is brilliant. Let's hope things go right with the conversations in the next few weeks and the brilliant work that you've done with Kingsway House, of course, and the shelter there. And let's hope this time next year we're having another discussion where we're saying how much work you've done in the 12 months. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for inviting me on.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.